I get a lot of emails sent to me privately, and I probably don't have enough time to respond to it in the way that a lot of it deserves. But one of the questions I get asked quite frequently is, shouldn't there be a way of using your computer much like a VCR for the internet? In other words, you can record all your favorite streams off the internet just in case you're not there when something you want to hear is on. Well, like everything in computing these days, there are probably a number of solutions to this problem. This is the one that I use, and I use it because it has so many more applications than just recording off the internet, and yet it's ideally suited for that purpose. It's called Macro Scheduler. It's a piece of shareware. I've had it since version 5.0, and they are now up to 6.1. There are a few changes that they've made with version 6.1 that really have disappointed me a little bit in terms of its accessibility, but it's still a very usable program, and I'd like to put it through its paces to some degree now for you. I have Macro Scheduler running all the time because it's doing all sorts of interesting things. It's one of the very few programs that I have in my startup group. In other words, when Windows starts, this starts as well. It tucks itself away in the system tray, and I have JAWS for Windows 3.7 running at the moment, so I'm going to hit Insert F11 to get to the system tray.
Select the system tray icon dialog.
And I'll hit M.
MCFE Active Shield. Macro Scheduler 6.1.
And now I'm going to Alt-D to double-click the left
Macro
mouse
button. Macro Scheduler 6.1. Delete button.
Now we're in the main Macro Scheduler window. Across the top, you have the menu bar. And unfortunately, as of version 6.1, it's one of those new trendy menu bars that doesn't speak automatically. I'm sure that we can do some scripting to fix that. Or, of course, the immediate solution is just to say all, which is Insert S. And then you can tap the Alt key and you should be able to get some sense out of the menu bar. If you're using WindowEyes, Insert A is the command that does the same thing. That's the Speak All mode in WindowEyes. There are also some easy buttons, though, that you can tab through that give you access to most of the functions that you'll need. I'm just going to tab through until we get to
Preview. List
a list.
View.
There we go.
Not selected graphic 810 to fragment disk general.
Now I'm in my list of macros that are set up, and some of these have come shipped with Macro Scheduler, such as this one. This is the defragment disk macro.
Defragment disk. General.
It says defragment disk and then it says general. And it's saying general because you can assign your macros different categories. Having selected the defragment disk macro, we can have a look at what's in there. But before I do, I may as well just say a few words about defragmenting and why it's important, since we're on the subject, albeit indirectly. If you're doing a lot of work, say with word processing or sound editing, and I do a lot of work with both, you might bring up a word processor document in Microsoft Word, for example, and do some work on it, and decide that you need a breather. You save the document, you close the Word application, you go and do email, look at a few web pages, and then you come back. The problem is that the process of doing the email and sorting through that and then surfing the web has created some more material on your hard disk subsequent to you working on your Word document. Therefore, when you come back to your Word document, it's not possible for you to continue doing your work and adding some additional material and perhaps deleting some other stuff and moving stuff around and then saving the file and expect that it's going to be one continuous stream of data on your hard disk, or as they say in the computer terminology, contiguous stream. So what ends up happening is that you have little bits of your document all over your hard disk. That's what fragmentation is. And when you have lots of little bits of lots of files all over the place, it can significantly impede your computer's performance. And that's why it's always a good idea to defragment your hard disk. I'm on the list of macros. We've selected defragmenting the hard disk. I'm going to tab now.
New button. Edit button.
And here's the one to edit the macro. We can have a look at what's in here. I'm going to hit the space bar.
Macro. Cancel button.
We're on the cancel button. If I just tab.
Help button. Script tab. List box.
We're on the script tab because this is a multi-page dialog box. And I'll come back to some of the other options that we have shortly. Now I'm in the list box, which contains all of the commands that are being used in this macro. And I think for those of you, if you're anything like me, who has a kind of a mental block when it comes to programming type languages, although I'm doing my best to overcome that thanks to the helpful material that Jim is doing on the JFW scripting tutorial, among other things. You kind of think, oh my goodness, a macro, it's a little program, I'm not going to be able to cope with this. But I want you to have a careful listen to the way that these macros are structured, because I think you'll find that they make a perfect sense in English. Yes, a computer program that understands that.
Run program defrag C.
So the first line, run program defrag C colon. So it's saying that you're going to run the program, and the program you're running is defrag C colon, and you have to add the C colon to automatically get into defragmenting your hard disk.
Wait, window open disk defragmenter.
I'm just down arrowing, and it's saying, wait, window open disk defragmenter. So essentially it's saying, wait until the window is open that's called disk defragmenter.
Wait 2.
Then it says wait 2, which means wait 2 seconds.
Press Alt.
Press Alt. And so it goes. It is a perfectly understandable series of instructions. So you may well be saying at this point, yeah, well, that's all very cool, but why would I want a macro to do this? I mean, why can't I just go ahead and type the keys to defragment my hard disk? What's the advantage? Well, here we get into the fun stuff. Let me just shift tab.
Script tab.
And we're on the multi-page dialogue tabs. I'm just going to right arrow.
Logging tab.
This contains information about the successful or otherwise execution of the script. You want to keep an eye on that.
Hotkey tab.
The hotkey tab allows you to assign a hotkey in Windows to this function. And that's really good. You can obviously assign a hotkey in Windows to, say, the execution of a program like Ctrl-Alt-W for Word. But you can't generally assign complex instructions beyond the hotkey, unless the program accepts pretty long convoluted command lines. For example, you could theoretically assign a hotkey to go into Microsoft Word, input your letterhead if you have one, type a standard letter, and send it off in the email, or put it on your hard disk ready for further action or anything at all. So that's the hotkey function.
Group tab.
The group tab simply dictates what group you will assign this macro to.
Run when tab.
Now the run when tab, this is the fun bit.
Monday checkbox not checked.
I'm tabbing through a series of checkboxes that obviously represent the day of the week.
Tuesday checkbox not checked. Wednesday checkbox not checked.
This is asking us, when do you want this macro to run unattended? I'm on Wednesday, so I'll hit the space bar. So this is saying, I want my hard disk defragmented every Wednesday, please.
Checked.
It's checked now.
Thursday checkbox not right. Sunday.
Just tabbing through.
Edit. 00.
At. And we have 00 in this. What time on Wednesday do you want your hard disk defragmented? It is now asking. And I think that given that we're all good homely people and we're well and truly away from our computers by 23 in the evening, we'll put a 23 in here. In other words, 11 p.m. Tab.
Edit. 00.
And this is the minutes field, and just for the sake of a bit of margin, we'll put 15. 23:15.
On the check. Repeat every edit. 0.
Repeat every. So you can specify a time, an interval, after which this macro will repeat. Now, that's probably not terribly relevant in a defragmenting situation, but let's say, for instance, you were using Macro Scheduler to assist you with an automated radio station, and that at 11 o'clock every evening you end onto some sort of autopilot mode, run by Otstuke or something like that, and you had a macro that caused Otstuke to fade the current song out and play a news broadcast from the internet, and I have actually done this. You might want to say, okay, I want that to air at 23 o'clock, 23 hours in the evening, and I want it to repeat every hour, so you get a news bulletin on the hour. You can do that.
On the checkbox, not checked.
And here, if you check this box, you can specify whether it's the first, second, third, or fourth Wednesday.
Advanced options button.
There are also even more advanced options that control when this will run.
Okay button. Cancel button.
And there's the cancel button. I'm going to press space on the cancel button because I don't really want to automate the defragmenting of my hard disk just now.
Macro Scheduler 6.1.
So that's how the macros work. If I tab back into the list,
delete button, edit button, new button, list view, tree, list view.
I've got all sorts of macros in here.
Display help file.
Some of them came with macro scheduler.
Omnibus.
This one didn't. This is the Omnibus macro. And for those of you who've had the misfortune to listen to some of my ramblings on ACB Radio in the past, you will know that I'm a huge fan of the radio drama The Archers, which is broadcast on Radio 4 in Britain. This macro records the Omnibus edition of The Archers on a Sunday evening, currently at 2200 my time, but it's going to change when the clocks go back over the weekend. It will have changed, in fact, by the time you hear this. That's what that one does, and we'll have a look at the syntax of that later.
Radio 4.
And there's another one for The Archers. In fact, if we let that whole line speak.
Radio 4. 0701 MTW THFS. General.
It's saying 701, which is when the macro executes. And then it's saying MTWTHFS, which tells us that the macro is currently programmed to run Monday through to Saturday. And that's, again, for recording The Archers. So I've got quite a few macros that record things. There are two ways in which you can make a macro or a script in Macro Scheduler. The first is that you can turn on its recording feature. This is something that I know has been wanted in JAWS for Windows for a long time. I think it was in the JAWS for DOS, and sometimes Freedom Scientific promised that, yes, a macro recorder is coming at some point. This will record your keystrokes, so it is possible for you to get into a program and type something and then have a script. Sometimes it may be necessary, depending on the complexity of what you're doing, to edit the resulting script. And that's why it's important to check the box that says, do you want to create a script from this? Because it does allow you to have greater control and edit it. There are a couple of caveats with that, though. The main one being that you can't use the Windows key on its own to get into the Start menu, or Control Escape to get into the Start menu. The way to get around that, if you need to get to the Start menu, is to minimize all the applications by holding down Windows and M, and then tabbing to the Start button and pressing the space bar. That's how you get into the Start menu when you're in the record mode. The macro scheduler people say that there's some limitation in Windows that prevents them from capturing Control Escape or the Windows key, and for that matter Control Alt Delete. I can certainly understand why they'd have trouble capturing Control Alt Delete. So that's a small limitation. But don't be daunted by the script language. I'm going to show you how I use Macro Scheduler to record these streams that I told you about. I'd like to take a look at the Radio 4 macro, which records The Archers every day and is incredibly reliable. I have left this while being out of the country for like 2 or 3 weeks at a stretch, and it has happily recorded all my Archers episodes, and I've been able to FTP into my computer and download them, or whatever I need to do. So what this macro does that I'm going to show you is it does a number of things. Firstly, it opens SoundForge and starts recording. It brings up Real Player at BBC Radio 4 and starts recording. And when it's all over, it closes down Real Player and it saves the file I've recorded as an MP3 file. And it gives it an appropriate name. For example, The Archers for the 25th of October automatically gets named Archers 102500.mp3, and that all happens automatically. I should add that I'm using those files for my personal use, and after I've heard them I delete them, so I'm not in any way making these available to anyone or seeking to undermine the BBC's copyright of what is a fantastic program. Wouldn't want to do that to such a fantastic program, you know. Now,
rank Radio 4. Zero
there's seven. Radio 4. So we're going to go into the Edit option.
New button. Edit button.
And there's Edit. I'm going to press Space to get into the Edit option.
Macro. Cancel button. Help button. Script tab.
We're on the Script tab.
List box. Month M.
This is simply assigning a variable to the month, the variable M, so that I can name the files correctly.
Date.
And there's the same for the date.
Year Y.
And the same for the year. So MDY is how I name the files for month, day, and year. You can read all about this in the help, and it's obviously impossible for me to teach Macro Scheduler. I'm really showing you what it can do.
Execute file CR shows radio 4.RAM.
Okay, what I did, just to make it a bit easier to do the macro, was I went to the Radio 4 website, and there was a link there that said listen to Radio 4 with a non-embedded player. In other words, it pops up the real player. And I downloaded that file. It's just a small RAM file, which is how real audio files are launched. And all it has in it is the URL of the stream. So I put that file in my /C/Arches directory. And when I choose radio4.ram, I can either use that from the run dialog or any other program. Real player comes up and starts playing Radio 4. That makes it really easy for me to put that line into the macro, which says
execute file CArches radio4.ram.
Execute file CArches radio4.ram. So that's the first thing that it does. Having assigned the variables, it opens Real Player and starts playing Radio 4.
Run program C program file sound.
And I think that's being truncated a bit. I wonder if I can expand that.
Run program C program file sound.
I can't, but what it's doing there is it's running C:\program files/, and it's going through, it's running the SoundForge program. So that's bringing SoundForge up, having got RealPlayer going.
Wait window open sound star.
Now, wait window open sound star. That's saying wait until the window is open that is called SoundForge. That's because with other things going on, like the real player being run, you can't accurately predict how long SoundForge is going to take to actually get itself up and running. So Macro Scheduler will wait before taking any further action until the SoundForge window is open. The star is a wildcard, so you only need to type part of the window name, and then you can have a star at the end. Because I know that there's only going to be a window called SoundForge open. There's not going to be anything else with the word sound at the beginning of it.
Set focus sound star.
Set focus sound star. That is effectively alt tabbing into the SoundForge application. It's giving SoundForge focus now that we've waited until the SoundForge program is open.
Press control.
I have to press the control key.
Send character slash text R.
Send character slash text. R. So that means that I've pressed the control key and pressed R. That's what I have to do for record, because if you're familiar with SoundForge, you'll know that control R is the record hotkey to get into that dialog.
Release control.
Then I have to release the control key.
Press Alt.
Now we have to press the Alt key.
Send character slash text R.
And press R. So in other words, we're pushing Alt R. And if you're familiar with SoundForge, you'll know that control R, Alt R is the quick way to get recording.
Release Alt.
And I now have to release the Alt key, having done that.
Wave 1180.
Now, I know that the Arches is safely over in 1180 seconds. And that's what that command does. It just puts the macro in abeyance for 1180 seconds. When that time is up,
set focus record star.
We want to set the focus to the window that's now called record. It has record sound 1 generally on the screen in the SoundForge program. So just to be safe, I just have it saying record star. And we've alt tabbed into that application. That's what set focus effectively means.
Wait 2.
Wait a couple of seconds for things to settle down.
Press escape.
Press the escape key, which is going to stop recording, but it's put us in the record dialog again.
Wait 1.
Wait another second.
Press escape.
And press the escape key again, which should take us to the main SoundForge window.
Wait 1.
Wait another second.
Press escape.
Press escape again, just in case, because it certainly can't do any harm, and there's just a bit of redundancy there.
Wait 1.
Wait another second.
Press control.
And we're going to hold down the control key.
Send character slash text S.
And send the character text S. Control S is obviously the save hotkey, and then we have to
release control.
Release the control key.
Wait 3.
Wait 3 seconds, because there tends to be a bit of hard disk activity that goes on after you hit the save command.
Send character slash text C Archers Archer.
And now we have the send character text and quite a long string, and I actually want to show you the string because it has the variables in it.
Command combo
box. So I'm just going to tab
value edit. Add button. Value edit. Add button, insert button, delete button, edit line button.
Here's the edit line button, so I hit the space bar on there, and now we have the whole line here. Now we can find the value edit button again.
Value edit.
And let's have a look at what we have here.
Colon C.
So we've got the send character slash text option.
C.
And we're sending C colon backslash arches.
A-R-C-H-E-R-S.
I'm just right arrowing through the edit window.
Backslash. A-R-C-H-E-R-S. Percent. Y. Percent. Percent. M. Percent. Percent. D. Percent. Period.
So that's saying arches, year, month, date. I assigned those variables at the beginning of the script. And that's how I get my unique file names for each episode. Let's tab back into the list of commands.
Command comp list box. Send character slash text C arches arch.
So that's saving the file, giving it a file name.
Press enter.
And press enter is a command that it understands.
Wait 5.
Wait 5 seconds for the file to be saved.
Press escape.
And press escape, because SoundForge will at this point be asking, do you want to open the file as a temporary file? Hitting escape gets you out of all of that nonsense and closes the file altogether.
Wait 3.
Wait 3 seconds, just to be safe.
Close window SoundStar.
And that's going to close the window SoundForge, which is just like pushing Alt-F4. Well, why can't you just press Alt-F4? Well, you could, except this is being absolutely sure that you're Alt-F4ing on the right thing, because we all know what Windows is like with focus sometimes.
Wait 3.
Wait 3 seconds.
Close window real star.
And the real player's done its thing, so we can just close the real player now. That's what that one does.
Wait 5.
Wait 5 seconds.
Let RP window mode equals 0.
And to be honest, I can't remember why I had to put that in, but I did. And you can consult the reference guide to find out why.
Run program C archers in code.rat.
I think it has something to do with the fact that I'm about to go into a DOS situation. And now I run a file called encode.bat that has a batch file that uses the Zing MP3 encoder to turn that WAV file into an MP3 file. And
run program C archers in code.rat.
That's it. The batch file contains commands like having encoded the file into an MP3 file to delete the original WAV source just to save space. And that works absolutely rock solidly every morning. Every morning I can come to the computer and know that unless there's been some sort of power failure or net problem, the Arches is waiting. And it's a really good thing. So let's have a look at how you would write a script like this, because we've showed you the list that I've already done. Well, if I just tab through this window here,
command combo box.
Now we're in a combo box of commands. And all you need to do is arrow through.
Run program. Execute file. Macro.
And you can hit the first letter. For example, I can hit R.
Release shift. Release control. Release alt.
And then once you've, for example, found, let's just try something a bit more sensible.
Press enter.
Like.
Press caps.
Press caps.
Press num lock. Press scroll lock. Press print screen. Press NP0.
I'm pushing the P key repeatedly.
Press NP1.
Okay, we've got all the press numpad keys here.
Press NP divide. Press NP decimal. Press R-Win key. Press menu key. Position. Put clipboard. Plug. Push button.
You can play a wave and all sorts of amazing things, you see.
Press backspace.
There are a lot of functions.
Press tab. Press enter. Press escape. Press F1. Press F2.
I'm just moving through here.
Press F12. Press F13. Press F14.
I didn't know there were such things, so what do I know?
Press F15. Press F16. Press F17.
Has anybody got an F17 key on their keyboard?
Press F22.
Goodness me.
Press F23.
Oh well.
Press page up.
Okay, I'm just looking
press
for...
Press page down. Press in. Press L. Press shift.
Okay, that's one. Having selected press shift, at any time, I can hit the F1 key and get context-sensitive help on any of these functions.
Macro scheduler. Press dot dot dot. All commands starting with press facilitate the sending of non-character keys. The following is a complete list of all commands with explanations where necessary. Press backspace. Press tab. Press
and it's going to go through those. So there's good context-sensitive help. I'll hit the R key.
Release shift. Release. 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 Read any file. Edit any file. Read any. RDBL click. R click. R down. R up. Read lane. Random. Rendezvous. Resize window. Registry read key. Registry write key. Registry tell key. Registry Delmel. Repeat. Run program.
Run program. So we've used that command. I'm going to press F1 and find out what information it has on the use of this command.
Macro scheduler. Run program. Run program path. Executes a specified file. Files that can be executed are .exe, .mat, and .com files. By setting the RP window mode variable, programs can be executed minimized, maximized, hidden or normal. RP window mode can be one of the following: 0 hidden, 1 normal default, 2 minimized, 3 maximized. If you set RP window mode, it is used by all subsequent.
And I'll page down.
Run program commands, so remember to set it back if you don't want the same window mode to be used each time. By default, a message is displayed if this command encounters an error when running the specified program. Error messages from this command can be suppressed by setting RP display error to 0. The result of the run program command is stored in the variable RP result. A value greater than 31 indicates success.
Okay, so it's getting fairly technical run there, but you've got the run program, which is running of specific types of programs, COM, EXE, and batch files.
Execute file.
But then we have execute file, which is the one that I actually did use, and I can hit F1 to find out about that one.
Macro scheduler. Execute file. Execute file. File to execute. Executes a file using the application associated with the given file's file type. File to execute can include a full path, abbreviation, .exe. See also, run program.
You can actually write these scripts in a regular text editor and import them if you want, but this is a really nice way of getting to grips with it. So having chosen execute program, I can then tab.
Value added.
And type something in, for example, C:\temp\something.wav.
Value added. C:\temp\something.wav.
And then
add button.
Simply hit the add button to add that. I can also insert it at the cursor position.
Insert button. Delete button.
And delete the line. So it's very flexible. And because of the context sensitive help and the really well written manual, if you want to take a few hours to learn how to do this, you'll be automating a whole range of cool tasks very quickly. There are a couple of minor access issues, and they have become a bit worse in version 6.1, which I'm not entirely happy with, but as you can hear, it's still perfectly usable, and it's a really powerful program. If you are into finding inventive ways to automate tasks on your PC, I give this top marks in terms of its huge power, its value for money, and its usability. So as we wrap this up, some details. Macro Scheduler is available from the MJTNet website at www.mjtnet.com. That's all one word, www.m for Mike, J for Juliet, T for Tango, net.com. And on that site, you can purchase online and immediately download your software, assuming that your credit card is approved and all of those good things. You also may want to check the archive of scripts that they have. There are some really cool things. I downloaded one that I really quite like and have assigned a hotkey to it. It reports free disk space. So all I need to do is hit the hotkey that I've assigned to it, and it instantly speaks the amount of disk space that is free. There are macros in there, scripts in there that will automate the grabbing of mail, the sending of certain files, all sorts of things. It's really quite amazing what they have in their archive there. The price, well, you can download an evaluation version. It's been so long since I've had the program, 2 or 3 years, that I really can't recall what the limitations of the evaluation version are. It may well be fully functional for a limited number of days or something like that, but hopefully the website can fill you in on those details. If you want to make the purchase, it is 40, that's 40 US dollars, and that's a reasonable amount for a piece of shareware, but given all the things that you can do with it, I think that you'll be really happy with it. So that address again, www.mjtnet.com. The program is Macro Scheduler 6.1.